And this morning we have from Glacier National Park Energy Corps, we have Shawnee Beck. Hi, Shawnee.
Hi, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and thanks for being with us today. All right, let's get right down to it. Climate change in Glacier Park.
Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of impacts of climate change in the park. And that kind of manifests in two different ways. One is in wildfires, and then the other one is in melting glaciers, which is kind of an iconic image of Glacier National Park. We've seen rising temperatures in northwest Montana, too, at rates that are higher than the global average, so about twice the increase since 100 years ago, which we're seeing globally, which is 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit. So, yeah, so we're seeing that in the park. And so melting glaciers have different impacts on the ecosystem there. We're used to having cold water, and so warmer temperatures mean that in like stream systems, macroinvertebrates aren't as resilient to the changing temperatures, and that impacts the entire system and the aquatic ecosystem there. So, and that works its way up the food chain.
Yeah, that's cold water. And of course, that's cold water fish and cold water bugs that live in that. And when you change the temperature, it kind of messes up their feng shui.
Yeah.
Okay. And as far as we're below average snowpack this year, is that right?
You know, I'm not super well versed in that. I believe so, but
yeah, it just doesn't seem like we have the rapidity of water flow in the Flathead River that we have had in the past.
Well, you know, a week ago we were complaining because it was raining all the time, and now it's dry.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So help us understand the effects of the climate change. First of all, just how bad is it?
Well, it's something that's changing. You know, it's been changing over time, and so we're seeing those impacts. We've definitely seen increase in wildfires as well, and the severity of that is expected to increase. And so that also has impacts on air quality and things like that, too. So,
how about the pine beetle? Kind of making it's a little easier for those guys to multiply and live.
Yeah, you know, I'm not super well versed in that aspect, so I'm not sure I want to speak to that, but that's definitely something that is being seen throughout.
All right.
Oh, that's caused torching at a lot of the fires.
Yeah, it sure has. Yeah. So, what else are we looking at here in terms of changes up in the park?
We're also looking at, well, one thing that impacts humans is the, you know, decrease in water in the park. So as we're getting a drier and warmer climate, we're going to be seeing differences in irrigation and things like that. So people are depending upon that water flow. And so as that changes, that impacts humans as well.
So you're talking about outside the park as well.
Right. So it's kind of a basin for water everywhere, right? And we're looking at the Continental Divide. So that really impacts both sides of our ecosystem here.
Now, John, you know, if you've been over to East Glacier, they have a lot of murals and photographs from the early days of the park when the park was first opened. And I remember reading one or seeing one where they had a group of government officials and they named the park Glacier National Park. One of them made the point that the glaciers aren't always going to be here because the glaciers have been melting for years and that they were naming the park after the process in which it was made, glaciation, as opposed to naming it because there were glaciers there. So, you know, I guess that just it makes it incumbent that visitors who want to enjoy the glaciers should come in subsequent years here.
Yeah, better hurry up.
Yeah.
Right. Our guest is Shawnee Beck. She is an intern with the Glacier National Park Energy Corps. So now we kind of understand that the park is being impacted by climate change. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing in terms of sustainability efforts?
Yeah. Well, one big piece that we do as far as sustainability is education pieces. So the interpretive and educational programs that are run through the park address things like climate change. So that's a really cool thing that's being done. As far as reducing our greenhouse gas and impact, we have a lot of people know about the APGAR Visitor Center, which is LEED certified. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the buildings that we have in the park are historic buildings. And so the improvements that are being made to them include installing LED lights, low flow faucets and toilets, and increasing the number of motion sensors for lights and things like that. So, and also more sustainable heating systems like groundwater or air source heating pumps that use the outside air to cool and heat buildings. So the facilities team is working on making those improvements throughout the years. So that's one thing that's being done. We also have alternative energy that's being used in the park. So we have a number of different places that use solar panels, as well as Goat Haunt has a mini hydroelectric plant, which is used to power the ranger station up there.
Okay, now, Shawnee, you're with the Glacier Park Energy Corps. Mm-hmm. What does the Energy Corps do? Do you address specifically the way we're using energy? You've just been naming some of these things.
Yeah, so Energy Corps is a program throughout Montana. So I'm the only Energy Corps member in Glacier National Park. But we work on different sustainability efforts throughout the state. So my position entails we're writing a sustainability plan for the upcoming 5 years, as well as coordinating better communication efforts about what the park is doing and writing some grants, things like that to help move things forward.
One of the impacts on the park, which, you know, it really isn't about climate change, but it is an impact, and that's the vast number of visitors we're getting every year. It's in the millions, and that's changed in the last 100 years as well.
Yeah, and we're also starting to see a lot more visitation in our shoulder season, so it's just becoming a longer tourist season in the park as well.
So I guess, you know, when you think about exhaust ignitions, when you've got a constant stream of cars going up there and back, but they're trying to address that with some of the shuttle services.
Yeah, we have shuttle services, both for employees too. So that's a cool program that we have that is lesser known to the public. For folks coming from Columbia Falls can take a shuttle up. But there are also resources in the valley to reduce emissions. As I know, there is a Eagle Transit shuttle that runs up into the park. And, you know, transportation actually is about 5% of our emissions in the park. So, and most of that is from tourists. So it's a big impact when people are driving their cars up.
And they're retooling the red buses, I guess, to
natural gas.
Yeah.
Zantara is working on that to be a hybrid electric this year. So,
that's cool. And back to your education, though, this is a real challenge for you because you have so many people coming through the park and giving them an opportunity to learn about what they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, there are many people, right? And a lot of people are coming through and driving the road and, you know, not getting, you know, like seeing the sights from the road, which is definitely an interesting thing about Glacier and addressing climate change with that.
The windshield tourist.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you are the passenger and you're looking down as you're going up.
Boy, that's something
else. Yeah. Well, today we're talking with Glacier National Park's Energy Corps intern, Shawnee Beck, and learning about sustainability efforts up at Glacier National Park. And National Hiking Day is coming up June 1st. How many people are going to be hiking that day?
Yeah, who knows, right? It's a big scale thing that's happening across the United States.
Yeah. So. Now, is there anything special planned up at the park, or will it just be kind of ad hoc? Because I know you can hike up to Lost Lake or the different places. So,
I don't think there are too many plans for National Hiking Day through the park.
But for those who are attending, do you have tips on green and climate smart things that we can do?
Yeah, so like I said, the majority of emissions that are produced for in the park, at least, is through transportation. So greening your transportation in ways that you can is a big one. Carpooling, utilizing the systems that are in place. I know we have our hiker-biker shuttle that just started running this last weekend, which brings you from Apgar back into Avalanche, and that helps reduce emissions, as well as planning ahead before you're heading out for a hike, you know, turning down your heaters, reducing, like unplugging your appliances and things like that. We also encourage visiting less popular trails. There are some trails in Glacier that are very popular, and everyone knows about them, wants to see them. You know, you got to get your Instagram photo. and that really impacts the trails. And also, it kind of takes away from the experience sometimes, being around so many people when the intention is to get outside and kind of get away. So that's something that we encourage, is going to places that are maybe lesser known, because there are a lot of cool places in the park that are not quite as popular, but are still incredible, and you can see a lot of interesting things in the ecosystem.
You know, one of my favorite places was Kintla Lake and mm-hmm. Bowman Lake, because they were almost, nobody knew about them. Now, all of a sudden, they're filled all the time.
So it's hard
to find a place to get away.
One thing I can recommend really is the shuttle up to Logan Pass. We had so many family members in that we couldn't mm-hmm. do it in one car, so we decided to leave from Apgar. And we rode up to the top. Didn't have to worry about parking up there. We were able to spend the afternoon, enjoy the park, and it was no hassle getting back on a shuttle and getting down then again.
Yeah, so it's definitely a good thing as far as reducing our impact, and it's also an incredible thing as far as ease if you're visiting, not having to worry about parking, because the parking lots fill up pretty quickly, and we're starting to see that already this last weekend. I know that visitation has been increasing with this beautiful weather that we've had, and that will only
and you can only get as far as Avalanche on the west side. So
correct.
So I know, get as far as Rising Sun on the east side. So we got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
One thing we talk about with hiking, and I know we preach this, but I'd like you to talk a little bit about the importance of packing out what you pack in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. And all the leave no trace principles, but making sure that we're not leaving a trace on the land that we're exploring. Sometimes you see things on trails, like people will throw their orange peels or things like that, and they're like, you know, it's compostable, but that really has a negative impact on the animals and feeding animals and things like that. So even if you're thinking that it's part, like decomposition is a natural process, it's not natural to have these foreign things, right? We want animals to be eating native plants, not plastic food. Our food or
well, that's how
like
they get
that.
To be habituated.
Mm-hmm, right.
Oh boy. Lots of good information this morning from Shawnee Beck. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.